Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tonight, the PBS documentary series Frontline presents the national broadcast premiere of Mosul. It's an extraordinary inside look at the brutal battle to drive ISIS out of Iraq's second largest city. Some military commanders have described it as the deadliest urban combat since World War II. The people of Mosul endured the repressive rule of ISIS for more than 2 years, and this is the story of the men who fought back and defeated the Islamic State in their heartland. Joining us today to talk about this program, you can see it tonight at 9 Central, 8 Mountain on SDPB-TV. We have with us producer James Jones. He's joining us from London. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is a slight departure from maybe what some people expect Frontline to offer as an investigation. This is more like a documentary film where your camera crew, your co-director spent 9 months following these men and this battle. Tell me a little bit how this came about and how you ended up really being embedded with the Iraqi forces.
It's really interesting you say that because, it is a slight departure. You know, it's very much fly on the wall and it's, you know, there's no voiceover even. Basically, the way it came about was Olivier Sarbil, my colleague, who is a very brave and brilliant cameraman, director, managed to embed with the special forces. He'd met them in a previous battle fighting ISIS elsewhere, and he managed to get in with them. He had no fixer, no translator, and he really just became part of the squad. And they kind of forgot he was even there. So it was, you know, genuinely fly on the wall. It was the opposite of having a news reporter with a microphone shoved in their face, you know. So whether they were talking to their girlfriend on the phone or, you know, roughing up a suspected ISIS prisoner, it was completely natural. They were totally uninhibited. And he captured just this extraordinary world in very extreme circumstances, you know, very, very intense fighting. And
there are times when I have to remind myself that it was nonfiction, that it was really happening, because it has that feel. It's so, you know, it's so intense and present that.
But he shoots so beautifully, right? So it's kind of
exactly.
It's strange. So you're used to seeing war footage that's kind of scrappy, and you know, there are bullets whizzing, and you know, the camera's shaky and wobbly, and you can kind of hear the cameraman breathing heavily and running. Whereas Olivier is so composed and assured that even when it's really quite frightening, he shoots it in a very steady, composed way. And it does. It has this weird feel of almost like watching a movie.
Yeah. Thank you for articulating that for me. He has an incredible, and I'm not minimizing what's actually happening and what he's doing, but he also has this incredible use of light throughout this, you know, with zero options for how to capture it. So remarkable work. There's even this moment where, you know, there's a car bomb going off and you can hear them calling to him, Olivier, get out of the, you know, get in here, get out of the way, because he's making the picture, which makes me nervous.
It's a huge explosion. It's a long way away. But actually the reason you see all the soldiers running past him, there's this huge explosion. The car bomb has just driven past them. And they're all saying, Olivier, come. And he's standing there because it's just such an extraordinary shot. And then the reason he eventually flinches and starts to move is a bit of debris hits him on the shoulder. And it's funny, when you watch it back with him, it's the one moment when he thinks, I shouldn't have held that shot so long. You know, I should have started to move earlier. It was foolish. Because actually, even though his shots are great, he's pretty sensible. And he had a good sense of, you know, where the line was. And he feels that was the one moment when, you know, after 5 seconds of that shot, he should have just run. But yeah, as you say, and you could tell in that clip how much they looked after him. They treated him as one of the team, and they were concerned for his safety, and were constantly giving him instructions and telling him where to go, where not to go.
And he is incredibly honest in the way he films them and the stories that they tell as well. So let's talk about these men. Some of the people that we get to meet. Who exactly are they?
So they're all young men. The film mainly focuses on four of them. Anmar is the kind of officer, kind of calm and wise. And interestingly, he's a Sunni, whereas most of the unit are Shia. And they are, you know, they're four quite distinct characters, but they're pretty much the same age. Interestingly, they were children when the invasion of Iraq happened in 2003, so they've kind of grown up their whole lives with Iraq kind of in chaos. And now the kind of responsibility falls to them to try and put it back together. You know, they are, this is really the front line against ISIS. They are kind of fighting our fight in a way. And they, you know, they're all very different. There's a sniper who kind of, as you saw, you know, takes a photo of every ISIS fighter that he kills on his phone and then goes home and scrolls through it and shows it to his family, and he's very proud. There's another one who's kind of the joker of the group. And then at the end of the film, one of the four is killed, and you see the kind of bond of trust that they have and how devastated they are. Just, you know, and I think that's one thing that I'm really proud of the film for, is that we treat the Iraqi soldiers in the same way that we would if they're British or American. You know, they're humans, they have families, they have friendships. It's not, you know, their level of grief when they lose a colleague is no less than an American or British soldier would have. So hopefully we kind of, you know, and in having the intimate interviews and filming with them back home, hopefully we give a sense of them as these rounded, flawed, but kind of heroic.
I think part of the success of that is that you showed them on leave. You showed them, you know, with their phones talking to a loved one, telling her how beautiful and precious she is to him. You showed them taking a field shower. And, you know, I've been in the military, and you look at this, and I'm like, that, you know, I haven't been in combat, but everything else is exactly, you know, how military people behave in the field. And then you also see this character of Hussein, who, you know, the sniper, who really says, you know, this is like a wedding party. It's a celebration. I'm proud. I'm happy to be doing this for my country. And then talk a little bit about the trajectory of, as this, you know, 9 months of this extended battle goes on, the toll that it begins to take on these men.
Yeah. I mean, they went to the east of Mosul, which was not quite as hard. The streets were wider. They could drive in their Humvees. They were a bit more protected as they progressed. And they were very concerned about saving civilians' lives, you know, almost to a fault, you know, even exposing themselves to attack sometimes. But they'd had really good intentions, good training. And then as the battle wore on and they moved into the west, which was much harder, it's kind of, you know, winding little alleys where they couldn't progress in vehicles, so they had to go on foot. They were much more exposed to snipers and attacks. You could see the exhaustion, you know, and they lost more men. The casualties were increasing. And, you know, I think we saw them kind of crossing a line of what is acceptable. You know, there's one scene in the film where, you know, it's quite late on, and it's not long after they've lost one of their small, you know, 10-man squad. And they get into a house which they think had been controlled by ISIS, and there's an ISIS sniper kind of trying to get at them, and they need to cross onto the other side of the road. And one of the soldiers gets a civilian and puts a gun to his head and says, you know, we want you to look out in the street to see if there's a sniper, effectively using the civilian as bait for the sniper. And, you know, I don't think they would have done that in the first few months of the battle, but it was just the mental exhaustion of, you know, months of being in this battle and losing friends. And so I think they're kind of, their standards just fell a bit. And, you know, and in fairness, we didn't see much of that. And and probably they wouldn't have quite, they weren't aware of how bad that looks to a Western audience. You know, it wasn't like they said to Olivia straight after, like, oh God, did you film that? Oh, can you please not use that? Right. You know, it weren't really, for them, it was kind of run of the mill and to be expected. But
there's an exchange between the civilian and the soldiers at that point where he says, you know, come on, I've got kids. And they said, well, you don't think, you know, there's a moment of humanity where he tries to say, look, I'm a person. And they say, so are we, essentially. Yeah, everything has sort of disintegrated to the point where, those lines, and they're tired of being lied to. They're tired of,
tired of losing. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think that is, and, you know, it's quite a short film, so it's hard to convey everything. But you know, hopefully you get a bit of the sense of the kind of shades of grey, and they can't really trust anyone. You know, they have these great, really good intentions with the civilians, but ultimately they know that a lot of these civilians in 2014 welcomed ISIS as kind of liberators.
Right.
And obviously everyone now comes out and says, oh, thank God the Iraqi army is here. But, you know, they probably said the same to ISIS. So they've got to be kind of one eye open at all times, suspecting that the people they're dealing with may have at least supported ISIS. But I think with that in mind, they managed to suspend their kind of disbelief quite well, and they do help the civilians.
Yeah.
And, you know, really do try and help them escape this kind of incredibly intense battlefield.
And I think it's important for people to understand how many civilians are, you know, it's not, and I think the lieutenant says in the very beginning, well, this would be an entirely different war if it weren't for these civilians who are here, a different battle. You know, ISIS is using these civilians as human shields, and so they not only have to pick through and deal with car bombs and drone bombs and snipers, but they have to deal with these civilians really clutching to them, saying, please help us, you know, the shaking hands and holding up white flags, and it not always being what it seems. They're being pushed through a lot. How old are they? They're very young.
The soldiers are, they're 25, 26. Even the Anmar, the lieutenant, is 26. And I mean, I'm 34, and I think, you know, I feel like I haven't seen a fraction of what they've seen, you know, and they're incredibly mature and calm in these situations.
Is this where they're from? Are any of them from Mosul, or are they from elsewhere in Iraq?
So some of them were from nearby in northern Iraq and had had their areas. One of them was a Yazidi who'd had his area taken over by ISIS, and his family had to flee. So for him, it was personal. For Anmar, it was personal because his dad had been blown up by Al-Qaeda in Baghdad. And so I think for a lot of them, you know, it was their kind of national pride and a sense of... Because for them, you know, even though a lot of the ISIS fighters are Iraqi, a lot are not. And so in their minds, it was this kind of foreign army that had come in and was just doing the most horrific things to their people. So, you know, it did feel quite personal. And that's why, you know, Hussein the sniper feels absolutely no shame about killing a lot of ISIS fighters. It was, you know, that they felt no guilt. And you know, maybe perhaps Hussein is more troubled than he lets on. You know, I'm sure.
You can see throughout the as the battle, 266 days weighs on, it's changing who he is as well. Well, James Jones, thank you so much. It is a really compelling film. We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us from London.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.